Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 to 6. The second complaining, that is, in this series. The Hebrews seem always to be complaining. They've just left Sinai. They started moving into their camp and so on. And it's not long before the people are complaining, verse 1, about their hardships, and now about food. Chapter 11, verse 4, the rabble with them began to crave other food. The rabble. Amongst this mass of people, 2.5 million, were the hangers-on from Egypt. I call them hangers-on. They had come with the Israelites. How committed they were is hard to say. They are the riffraff, mongrel hordes attending, hangers-on with Israel. Not real Israelites, not true Israelites. But it's not long before the grumbling, the murmuring among this rabble has spread to the Israelites themselves. And again the Israelites started wailing and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions and garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna." They were not satisfied with God's provision. They longed, they craved for, they had vehement desire, verse 4, for the other food, something different, something more exciting than this boring old manna. They speak with contempt. "We never see anything." What contempt? "We never see anything but this manna." They wailed. If only, they looked back and they looked back with romantic spectacles on. They glamorized the past. Distance has certainly improved the view. "We remember Egypt." Well, yes. There was no cost there. There was wonderful variety there. But now, verse 6, we have lost our appetite. This manna. They had forgotten the kilns, the whips, the making of bricks without straw, the infanticide, the staggering up, the building of the pyramids and these cities. This is what they were doing. They were looking back with rose-coloured spectacles. They were grumbling at God. They were listening to the pagan rabble, and they were going back in their hearts to Egypt and longing for the pleasures, the fleshpots of Egypt. Is there no application for us in the new covenant? I'm not in the wilderness. I'm not eating manna. But is there any spiritual application for me as a believer? Can I be dissatisfied with this same old Bible all the time? These same old hymns? These same old doctrines? These same old preachings? The same old gospel? Do I crave something new? I believe it's part of the fallen condition of man, man's state of sin, that he longs for novelty all the time, something new. It's in us, and I believe it's in the churches. I believe it's in amongst believers too, a longing for something new, some new view, some new perspective. I remember years ago when I was taking another man out, a younger man out, and we were looking for books. And we came across second-hand books, and we came across in one second-hand bookshop, we came across a shelf with a commentary, a new commentary or something, new thoughts, I don't know what, something new was in the title, some novelty was in the title about some book in the Bible. And my friend, my younger friend, said in a very sharp way, but very clear way, "I don't want something new, I want the old. Ask for the old paths." You see, the old is ever new. The gospel is ever new. Scripture is ever new. Let's beware, my friend, of listening to pagan influences, pagan cries, rabble cries, craving for the world, glamorizing sin, the pleasures of sin, the follies of sin. The corruption of the world is very attractive. the Satan always highlights the attraction of it, the pleasure of it. The world looks very pleasurable, exciting. The sights and sounds that dazzle. The world is ever near. Yes, and we must be separate. Separate in our hearts, separate in our minds, separate in our lives. We must live amongst the unbelievers, of course. We are in the world, but we must not be of it. These people longed for Egypt again. And you know that I've repeatedly made this point in recent discourses and in my books too. The churches today are going back to paganism, are going back to the world, asking the world to help it, to help the church evangelize. Can you believe it? Can you understand it? How do you run your businesses? And we'll do the same. We crave this. We crave this success. We want people coming through the doors. That is the number one God today. Oh, may God deliver us from it. May he deliver us from longing for Egypt, craving it, and glamorizing it. May we be satisfied and glad and delighted with all that God gives us. Couldn't they have said, well, we're in the wilderness, 'tis true, but we're going to the promised land. Yes, 'tis manna, but 'tis temporary. We're not in Egypt anymore. We're not in slavery. We're not in bondage. We are free, and soon we shall be settled in our land. Of course, there are difficulties and hardships, but what is before us? Let us look at the prospect. Couldn't they have taught and thought like that? No, they had to grumble and moan and grieve and want the world. Oh, brother and sister, the application is very clear. May we heed it and act upon it to the glory of God. Amen.